Welcome to another podcast from SlysOffice.com. Today, originating from the studios of WORT, we appreciate WORT giving us this facility from time to time. I also want to thank the United Steelworkers and our local great sponsors like S&R Remodeling, Madison Computer Works, St. Vincent DePaul, the Axley Law Firm, and AMS. All right, joining us today, someone who I've worked with for many years now, Dylan Brogan, who not only helps me with Sly's Office, but is a full-time reporter for Isthmus, a weekly publication, obviously, in Madison, if you're listening from outside the area. He did an extensive piece about the Dane County Jail, and I printed it out here. Dylan, of course, I made it larger font because I'm getting older.
Yeah, it's pretty thick, though.
But 19 pages.
Not so, too bad.
How long did it take you to put this together?
Oh, just 3 months.
So,
yeah, no, there's a lot going on with this Dane County Jail. You know, they're talking about replacing the one at the city county building, and it could be the most expensive project in Dane County history.
I was on WIBA-FM in the mid-1980s when they were arguing about the Dane County Jail. And then Sheriff Jerome Lakey,
yep,
a Republican, decided to go on the cheap and expand it in the same decrepit building. That building had problems 30 years ago.
Well, it still has problems now with asbestos and the water with lead in it, and it's Sheriff Dave Mahoney, who runs it, is one of its biggest critics in terms of how it's inhumane. And, you know, in the 1990s, so there's the public safety building, too, across the street. That's the other jail, the
right.
Moore Monum Jail. They could have added four more floors to it when they built it in the 90s. It was sort of set up that way, and that would have gotten them out of this problem, but they didn't do it then. It would have cost just $8 million then, and now they're looking at $150 million to do the same thing.
And, you know, actually the recession would have been a perfect time to build this, because now so many cranes and construction workers are busy because of the Epic boom in Madison. You know, 2009, 2010 would have been a great time to build it, because they would have gotten it for a much lower price then.
Probably, right? And interest rates would have been bottom.
Correct.
Very low.
Correct. But, of course, there is a bottom line. The county executive obviously thinks that all the proposals that have come out are too expensive. But without talking about numbers, you put a number of human faces, three, I think.
Yeah.
You put three human faces on it. The first story is of a transgender individual, Lisa Mitchell. She's been in and out of that jail 26 times since 2000. It's interesting she's counted.
4 years of, oh, I had to go look that up. Years of her life, of the last 16, 17 years, have been spent in that facility. And, you know, it's supposed to be temporary. You know, people are supposed to be in and out of there waiting for court or waiting for prison. So it was never designed to be a long-term facility for inmates.
And she was at times confined 23 hours a day to the segregation cell, because they simply, this is beyond the decrepitness, this is also not a modern jail facility.
No, and, you know, because she was transgendered, she was housed with the males, so there was some safety issues there for her. But if she was in a wheelchair, if she had a sling on, they have to go to this segregation, too, because there is no other, there's no medical beds, there's no, basically, if you need to be isolated for your own protection or maybe for a behavior issue, that's the only place you can go.
She said, it's a little box, there's mold growing around you, there's no fresh air, the ventilation is bad, the water is nasty, it stinks, it's beyond cruel, the whole place is an imminent danger to people's health, it needs to be shut down. Well, I take it that's kind of where you got the title of Shut It Down, right?
Yeah, I did, and she's trying. She dropped out of high school, but during her incarceration, she has really educated herself on the law and has taught other inmates and herself how to file these prisoner federal lawsuits. And if Dane County officials don't act, one of these lawsuits alleging that there's imminent danger to inmates' health, maybe short-term and long-term, that might ultimately shut it down. So officials, they can't just wait forever.
Years ago, I would converse with a lot of prisoners in the state facilities would listen to me. When I was on WIBA-FM.
They love to write letters.
They love to write letters.
Yes.
And Adrian Lomax became a activist. And he basically gave himself a law degree in in
it's
prison.
It's pretty incredible what you can do in there with time, isn't it?
You can be a little more disciplined, right? There's no internet distractions and
Well, let's not forget, too. I mean, Lisa has made some big mistakes in her life.
In her own admission.
Yeah, and she is not saying she shouldn't even be punished, but that, you know, we live in a progressive community that likes to tout that we have fairness and that
incarceration
is supposedly about rehabilitation. But this is, I don't think people really know just how bad it is in the Dane County Jail that is above the city county building.
I hope I'm not talking out of turn here, but Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney told me a week or so ago, he addressed the ACLU of Dane County and said, "Where have you been? How many times does a sheriff solicit to the ACLU to come down on a jail?"
Yeah, no, that's an incredible statement. And, you know, and I think you told me, too, that he said it's the worst jail in the state. Worse than Florence County.
Florence, yeah. I always like to pick on Florence County, but let's face it, it's a small county with an old courthouse, right?
Well, and, you know, Milwaukee, obviously we just heard about that death of that inmate there. They have several more modern jail facilities than Dane County does, and we're the second largest county.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we decide to build a new jail, maybe we could lease this out to Sheriff Clark. He probably wouldn't have any problem with it.
I don't think he would.
Okay, so the sheriff has said, now it's time to quit talking. All we have is binders full of studies, and it's time to build this thing.
And they have, Sheriff Mahoney has been talking about this since before he was even elected sheriff. 2003, they were talking about how they need to get rid of this facility. It's a linear style jail, right, which is something they haven't really built since the 70s. So that's, when you think of Alcatraz, when you think of the Andy Griffith Show, where it's like the bars like that.
Was it in your piece where somebody said that they'd like to rent it out as movie set director?
Yeah, one of the lieutenants who works there. Because it's so, I mean, the doors in there are, they look like they were installed in the 50s because they were.
Who said that they wouldn't give their dog the water from that job?
Well, that was the inmate, one inmate I talked to. He said, you know, the staff is kind of remarkably forthright and open about talking to prisoners about how crappy it is in there. That was, some guard said that, because it smells and it's awful, and they're just now installing water filters in there just to keep it going for another couple
years. Okay, so they're spending $5 million for temporary fixes?
For like 2 years, 3 years max.
So this is money going down a rat hole.
Exactly.
All right, so there's a federal lawsuit filed now. Do you have any idea about the status of this federal lawsuit?
Yes. So there's actually a couple, but the one that's made it the most, that's Lisa Mitchell, that transgender individual that we talked about. They've basically exhausted all the ways they can just throw it out, right? There's a couple ways that were, you know, some technicalities where she didn't go through the proper grievance process, or she didn't file stuff correctly. All of that stuff that a lot of prisoner lawsuits are thrown out, she's made it past. So now they're in the discovery period of all this. And what's kind of amazing in all this is she keeps taking newspapers and cutting out articles that quote Sheriff Dave Mahoney saying how horrible this place is, and sending those in as evidence. So while the county's lawyers, who are from Waukesha, a private firm, who are, you know, basically handling these cases, they're saying, oh, there's nothing wrong there. She can't allege there's any health damages or there's anything, any of these other things. Now, normally, she would be in a very tough position, right, to say that the environmental conditions at these jails are terrible and a danger to her health. But she has the sheriff who's running the jail saying it.
Okay, so it sounds to me like the county board president, Sharon Corrigan, is more amenable to getting this done than the county executive. Would that be an accurate statement?
I would say the entire county board is more amenable because they just realize this is an embarrassment and something that they just can't put off anymore. It's not like anyone wants to build a new jail. And in a weird way, you know, that a couple years ago, that's kind of how it got stalled, right? Sheriff Mahoney, oh, we want a new jail. They might have built it over in Westport or somewhere from downtown, right? The current proposal, which costs a couple million dollars to figure out through this consulting company, they basically are going to reduce the number of beds. They're going to do more restorative justice things to hopefully keep people out of there, but there is a certain amount of beds they need.
The county's doubled in population since the city-county building was built.
Well, and continues to, right?
Right.
And they have to build whatever new facility with 50 years in mind, at least. So the current plan is to take the public safety building that was built in the 90s and expand that out, actually get some medical beds and solitary confinement, and relocate it all in one central area, and most importantly, shut down this old jail. It's on the 6th and 7th floor of the city-county building.
We're talking to Dylan Brogan from Isthmus about the poor conditions at the Dane County Jail, beyond poor conditions, here at slysoffice.com. What moment are we at here?
We're at 12, per, like right in half. So.
Okay. And we're back at slysoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Dylan Brogan from Isthmus. We're talking about the Dane County Jail. I noticed there were a lot, as soon as the podcast of the sheriff went up, there were a lot of shares.
Yeah,
people are very interested in this story. What sort of response has Isthmus received and yourself since you wrote this piece?
Well, we've had a lot of response just about how, mostly just how people didn't know how terrible this facility was, and that it was such an
God forbid
dangerous.
That you have to take a field trip up there.
Well, and hey, they'll show you around up there if you really want to. They do tours once a week. And yeah, I mean, it's an interesting position, right, that the sheriff and law enforcement, as well as the inmates, are on the same side as this. They just want a safe facility where they're, I mean, how crazy is it that they don't have one medical bed? How many, being in prison, there are a lot of people with mental illness in prison right now, and we're making it worse. We know that's the opposite of what the jail is supposed to do.
All right, we know there's resistance from the county executive who was thinking about running for governor, mm-hmm. who is in a contentious relationship with the county board. It's my understanding that he and the county board president are not even speaking to each other at this point. That doesn't seem very productive. But there's also, there was some pushback when the sheriff first proposed mm-hmm. this. Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition had some concerns about it. I think they'd kind of like to shut the whole jail down, period. But realistically, people that say we need to put more money into mental health, we need to do something about people with mental health problems, the sheriff says, well, then you're on my side on this.
Well, in a weird way, they are. And even people that want less people to be incarcerated, right? This is still a big, it's almost a little more than a third of, so here's how I like to think about it. So it's basically 1,000 beds, right? And the current plan is to get them all in the most modern facility possible in the public safety building. But there's about a third of them that are in this 1950s-style jail. So you could free 300 people right now and maybe clear that place out, but that's where the maximum security inmates are currently held.
Right.
So it's not just about we need a if we build a new jail that they're going to be locking more people up. But, you know, if we go from 500,000 people in this county to 1 million, you know, having 200 extra people in the jail maybe is not like we're going out there and arresting more people.
If
all the time.
Sly was county executive, what he would do is use eminent domain to take the Bishop's Bay clubhouse, and I would take all the most dangerous prisoners and put them there.
Bishop's Bay, like a new Greenfield jail right out there, right?
All right. So this is something that may get done for the 2018 budget?
And that is the big question here is Dane County Executive Joe Parisi says this, and he's right, this is probably going to be the most expensive project in the county's history. And he says it's going to take away from other priorities like cleaning up the lakes and
putting new urinals at the Coliseum.
New urinals at the Coliseum and some other, you know, roads and a lot. And I'm, you know, that's a fair point. But the reason
why. But there's been
why,
a far more focus on the fairgrounds. I don't even like to say Alliant Energy Center. Don't like to use those corporate names
sure.
here at Sly's office. There's been more focus on the Coliseum, frankly, than there has been the jail.
Well, maybe.
At least in the media. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is part of this that people don't really, I mean, there's nothing fun or exciting about building a new humane jail, right? And I actually really, as someone who, you know, has come into this with a really open mind, just trying to tell people what's going on, you know, there are some that are like, oh, Sheriff Dave Mahoney just wants a fancy new jail. And think about how crazy that is. This is not a toy. This is not something that some legacy in a way that Mahoney can hold his hat on, besides shutting down something that is inhumane to people, and you know, even people who are arrested deserve to be in a place where there isn't bugs coming up out of the toilet and landing on your food.
If we take this and break it down to its truest essence, though, every time jails have always been an admission by society that we failed people. And that we've failed to deal with mental health issues and drug issues, that capitalism has failed. There's a whole host of things that, in some respects, jails are sort of a tacit admission that.
Which,
I don't mean
absolutely.
To get too esoteric.
No, but I mean, shouldn't we? Right now, the jail is probably leading to more recidivism, right? Where you have people have nothing to do in there, and they are getting sick from asbestos, and they're being locked in a room that is about the size of a parking spot for 23 hours a day. If you have any sort of mental health crises, that's the worst place you can be. And there's nowhere, it's not like they're doing that to punish them. There's nowhere else for these people to go.
Tell me about Herbert Wilkins.
Herbert Wilkins, he was one of those inmates that I talked about there. He's really worried about the asbestos. He says he was watching it come up off the cement, and he worked in asbestos abatement, and that he's one of these inmates that, he doesn't have a long rap sheet or anything. He's been in and out, but, you know, he really thinks that right now, they are even sort of racial disparities make this even harder.
Well,
that's
that's why I asked.
Yeah, I actually think he has a very nuanced point about it.
Is it true that the county is putting more African American inmates in the city county building jail?
Well, here's what we can say. So, in the Dane County Jail, about half the population of the males is black, and that's not even, you know, half the county is not 50% African American. So I think he has, and he says it has improved recently, but he says, you know, by and large, the guards are white. And so you see two white guys on a cultural level can sort of connect in a way that maybe a black guy and a white guard can't. And so what ends up happening is if it's about just assumptions, and you automatically assume that maybe some black guy who you don't understand is going to be more threatening because of just how the media and all sorts of stuff, right? And so this is disproportionately affecting African Americans.
It's my understanding this has been addressed to some degree.
They have definitely, Sheriff Mahoney has been trying to hire more diverse staffing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it takes a long time to do this, to change these cultural phenomena. But isn't that just awful, though? They know that the city county building jail is worse, and that because of even things that might not even be conscious, they're putting a disproportionate amount of African Americans in the worst part of the jail.
Well, it is amazing. I'm much, much, much older than you are. We used to have some of the, even in Dane County, some of the biggest rednecks for sheriffs that you could ever possibly imagine. There used to be two guys. They went back and forth. They were term limited at the time, so one would run a couple times, and then they'd trade off. One was a Democrat. One was a Republican.
You were allowed to do that?
Yeah. Jack Leslie, who used to smash up squad cars drunk, and then Franz Haas. And I'm probably the only person that remembers. No, Stuart Levitan remembers those
probably
names. But It was really, really, really bad, and we had a bunch of head-bashing cops, both in the city and the county, during the demonstration. So,
well, and that Herbert Wilkins, though, right? You know how he talks about it is, hey, this guy from Wanakee who had one black guy in his high school, you know, they need training to understand where people are coming from.
Well, you heard the sheriff say, I interviewed him in the other studio here one time, how he is really concerned about his deputies developing racial biases because of the time spent in that jail and how he needs to work overtime to try to prevent that or mitigate it.
Well, it's a vicious
cycle. So he's clearly conscious
of
it. Yeah. Okay, so...
Well, you know, racial disparities, you are treating the black inmates harsher, and then they react, and that gives you, sort of backs up your own bias, and people can't just label it as, hey, all the guards are racist, and they just need to change. It's not quite like that. It's a systemic issue.
Did you talk to Judge Everett Mitchell for this story at all?
No, but I probably should have. But, you know, one thing that we can talk about just about lowering the jail population is there needs to be better coordination. I think they are trying between the DA's office, the judges, the state, and the sheriff's office. Because right now, you have people in there who could be in there for a few hours to get their hearing and then released on bail or whatever, who get there on a Wednesday and they don't have, you know, they don't see a judge until Monday. And then you have someone in there for five extra days than when they could have been in there for just a few hours. And the poorer you are, the more likely you are just to be thrown in there waiting forever.
So both Mitchell and Karofsky ran on changing this system a little bit as far as sentencing and this restorative justice program that Isho Zan has pushed. Is he factor into this?
Ozan does?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think all those efforts are a positive developments that they're talking about, but they need to act on them. And now one thing that I know, like Everett Mitchell is concerned about is juveniles, right? It is against federal policy that we have juveniles locked up with adults, but we don't have any other place to put them. So we are violating federal policy, and they're just letting the federal government is just letting us do it because we are talking about getting a new jail where we will be compliant with federal standards in the future.
The sheriff said to me that he can't get a firm answer out of anybody of what's too expensive. He said,
yeah,
I'll put a proposal out and they'll say that's too expensive. And then he'll say, what isn't too expensive? And they're like, oh, we're in negotiations here. You know you're going to just spend as much up to that level. So there's a lack of trust.
Certainly. Nobody wants... here's how my read of it. It's going to cost $150 million minimum to do what they got to do here. And the reason why it costs so much is because they've kicked the can in the 80s. They did it in the 90s. They did it in the 2000s. And if they do it again, it's just going to get even more expensive. So I feel a little bit of sympathy, not so much for Parisi, but for the county board. They're just backed into a corner. There's nothing you can do but to just get this done at this point.
And because it's a growing county, and this is something that I asked the sheriff about, and I hate to make any comparisons to basketball stadiums or baseball stadiums, but one of the reasons that Bradley Center is being replaced is they didn't adequately think about changing revenues. They didn't build the facility adequately.
Yeah.
And believe me, I'm not diminishing the importance of human beings and unjust conditions. No, but
you need to be doing that in any public project, right? It's got to last.
So you could build something on the cheap, but it could end up costing you more money down the run. So this has to be built with a 30-year outlook, right?
50-year outlook.
50-year outlook.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's longer than basketball arenas last now.
Well, maybe they could get the Petco Dane County Jail or something. I think this is ripe for corporate sponsorship.
Oh, there we go. Well, we sponsor the...
Why not?
Do you feel like you got all the answers, or did you get any stonewalling when looking into this?
Well, the only stonewalling I really got is about what this is actually going to happen or not this summer, because the county board is ready to do this. They don't want to do it. Nobody's excited about doing it, but they're ready to move forward with what admittedly is the most expensive project in Dane County history, because they know they have to do it and that they want to end solitary confinement and they want to, think about, they're not just building a brand new fancy jail that's going to have 1,000 new beds. They're actually going to reduce the amount of beds. And I think there is a lot of leadership that is committed to not just locking people up because they're poor or they have mental health problems. But this facility is dangerous, it's inhumane, it's probably hurting the health of the inmates long term, and it's going to be shut down one way or another. Is now our county officials going to step up and actually do it, or is it going to be shut down by a federal court?
It's kind of my feeling that the sheriff has basically pushed the State Department of Corrections to actually push the county on this a little more, which is a pretty remarkable thing, because they've been hesitant. They've condemned it, but they've been hesitant to write up infractions. Well, I guess they finally have.
Well, man, they get a lecture every year from it. But the federal government and the state government, in terms of the standards that they require, they've been very lenient because we've been studying this for 11 years. But at some point, that goodwill is going to go down.
Something tells me the Jefferson Beauregard Sessions would not have one problem with this jail.
Well, maybe not Sessions, but there are a number of judges probably appointed by Republican presidents that would happily shut this place down.
Dylan Brogan from Isthmus, thank you for coming to SliceOffice.com.
Thank you, Sly.
All right, SliceOffice.com brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, five more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.